Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Steve Edge is here.
Good morning.
Yeah. Ah, you sound full of beans.
We all rested, didn't we? We've all had a little bit of half term and
little holiday. Yeah, I mean, half term's not restful, but I know what you mean there.
No, that's the bit that ruins the holiday, isn't it? I mean, holiday with kids isn't an holiday, is it? It's just shouting at them in a different heat.
Different temperature, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean. With less things around you to help.
Yeah, no toys.
All your stuff at the...
My son managed to lose one of his... He's only got, like, you know, one or two cuddly toys that he takes with him. He managed to lose one on the coach transfer. He really put us off. It's a skunk. He's got like this little skunk.
Things that he was bereft about as well.
Yeah, he kept going on about it every day. He rang the coach company. And like, well, I don't know what skunk is in Spanish.
Did you have to lie? Did you actually ring the coach company?
No, we did, but they didn't know.
Oh, did you? Because it was okay. Right.
Busy, isn't it?
Yeah, busy. Yeah, fair enough. I had to lie to my kids last week as well. Can Molly and Stanley stay over? Can you ask their dad? Yeah, no problem. I'll text him now.
Yeah, he says no.
He's just not replied.
He's not replied?
Yeah, he's not replied, so just put it all on them.
Yeah. All on O2 or whatever.
Yeah, so yeah, put it all signal. On yeah, Molly and Stanley's dad.
Definitely nothing doing me anyway.
Ah, no. I do it all the time. Well, I'm glad you had a restful time. I enjoyed your picture this morning when I just popped onto our...
Oh, you've not seen that one, yeah.
No, I didn't see it when you sent it.
Yeah, but my son wanted to go to Aqualandia, which is a water park near Benidorm.
Yeah, I'll work that out.
It's we went at the right time because it was like Sunday, so everyone was sort of coming home, so it was lovely and empty. Yeah. There's one ride there, though, that's really good, the Cyclone, but you need four people to go on it. Obviously, there's only two of us, and everyone turns up with four. They should mention that.
I mean,
there was a Spanish couple there. We didn't know.
Yeah, but you just go on with someone else, don't you?
Well, yeah, no, but no, everyone turns up in a four because everyone knows you need four people. So there are no twos turning up.
Oh, so you just.
But fortunately, we got there and there was a Spanish couple. They're very amorous. They just kept. It's a bit of a queue up, you know, to the top, and they just kept like, kissing and grabbing each other's bottoms. And you're like, all right, mate, now you're all there. Rain it in a bit. I'm not getting on a mucky cyclone with you.
You don't want that. Mile High Club.
No, like, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, nobody needs that.
Anyway, very good. I had a lovely time. Yeah. I had that today, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of walking, isn't there? And the slides are not that. It's built for our bodies.
No, they're not built for our bodies. I mean, there was one on there that we went on about six times. I let my son go first, and then I would follow 10 seconds later. I still overtook him halfway down the slope. I think because I'm heavier, I go a lot faster.
Of course.
But I wanted him to see me, you know, crashing and burning at the bottom. And it was a very spectacular. I did it six times. I've definitely cricked my neck. I've done something.
Oh, I hurt myself every time.
He laughed his head off.
Yeah, well, that's worth it then, isn't it? Worth it. Always worth it. Yeah, I went on one of those rides. I can't remember if it was in Spain or Portugal. And it was one where you had to stand on like a big scales to see if you were the correct weight to get on it. And I was the same. We were like waiting for another family. So it needed five people, I think, this one.
Yeah.
So this Dutch family got on. And there was like a big, like, I'm a big lad, but there was like a big lad.
Yeah.
You know, a big dad. Yeah. And a big belly, like dead happy with it. You know, one of them.
Gouda and Eda. Just a lot of Dutch cheese.
Exactly. And we got on this scales, and it went red instead of green because obviously we're too heavy for it. And he patted my tummy, Steve.
Oh, come on, mate.
He patted my tummy and said, "Oh, too much dinner or something
tummy
like that."
Flop.
Yeah, oh, and I felt like flop. Going. It's not you, me. Mate.
It's not you or her. Sorry, love. Yeah. I didn't mean to bring you into it, but he started it.
I was like, I was appreciating that I might send this over the edge here.
You've got six kids though, so you can just find one of the littler ones.
Yeah, that's what we did.
I see, just pick a right, you out, you in. Right, try again.
Exactly.
No,
yeah, exactly.
Right. You're gonna have to cut an arm off, mate, or something.
Absolutely fuming. I had a couple of days in Wales with the kids.
Oh, did you? Where did you go?
Yeah. We went to I can't pronounce it.
Anglesey. Oh, right. Anglesey.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It was very nice. It was a place that the English call Silver Bay. It's like a holiday park. Roscollen? Roscollen.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Right. Treath Lidden. Treath Lidden, I guess it would be called. And it was lovely, actually. It was a friend's... friends got a lodge there, you know, one of these sort of...
Like a wood cabin type.
Yeah, exactly. So we went along, just had a free holiday. It was great. Nice. He's in the process of selling it. So he was like, yeah, just come and use it and that. And so we did. We absolutely did. It was a lovely couple of days. But he was like, I could tell there was a point where he was a bit like, it's for sale this, you know?
It was like a trial more than a gift.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, yes. You know, they come right down in price, but they hold the value of these things, you know, everyone loves holiday in here. So I was like,
you're just showing you around going, and look, another bedroom. I mean, that's mad, isn't it? You wouldn't think that, would you? Another bedroom in there.
It was great, though.
That's teak. That is.
It's a bit like that. And it was a lovely, place. Like they've got, you know, a swimming pool and the bar and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But the more he describes stuff to me, he was describing stuff as a positive, whereas I saw it as a negative.
Oh, was it like a sort of self-contained world where no one ever leaves?
Yeah, so he was like, it's great. We come back 3-4 times a year, exact same people every time. And he was like, that was a positive, and I was like,
that's a negative.
I don't want that.
Yeah,
I've got neighbours.
Yeah, I don't need other neighbours. Don't need Welsh neighbours.
Don't need holiday neighbours.
No.
That's all I need. So, it was lovely though. Really nice. The kids had a nice time and had a walk on the beach and got in the sea, even though it was freezing.
No, I think the first time you go in a British sea, it's bad, right? Because all your body's... I would imagine it's like in a cockpit of an aeroplane when it starts doing a nosedive. Every alarm in your body's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Things are contracting that shouldn't be contracting. There's bits here that go to the point where they can't go anymore.
No. They're like,
They've gone inverted and they go, well, they can't go inverted because there's things in here. There's things in this shopping bag.
I've given myself a sex change.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. I'm now female after being in the sea.
Well, that's nice, isn't it? It's really very modern.
Yeah, it was very. If that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do.
Fine.
I'm fine with that.
I
identify as freezing.
That's
what happened. So cold. But also one of the few places actually around the UK that hasn't got poo in the water.
Raw sewage in the water, yeah.
Yeah, so that was nice. It's nice to have a little treat every so often.
Although that makes it sort of slightly exciting sometimes. If you can see like a cloud of sort of coming towards you, you know, in the mist, on the froth, you go, avoid that bit.
Is that fish or?
A bit of Andrex.
Yeah. Questions for Steve. So we've got an email here. This is from Umar, who says, yo, Jason and Steve. Oh, I like that.
I like yo. Yeah, it makes me feel
young.
Yo's
good, isn't it?
Do you think he's our age?
Well, let me give you some more information about Umar. So, yo, Jason and Steve, it's Umar. I'm from Arizona.
Okay.
Although, I presume this is how he talks. Although I've never been to the UK, I love listening to your show. I mean, that blows my mind a little bit because we are so British.
Just listening to us talking about the favourite sort of pie and getting offended by banoffee and stuff. And he's like, yeah, I agree with these guys.
We're talking about the Gregulator at Greg's.
Yeah.
The baker.
I don't understand what they're talking about, but I like
it. That's right. I love a pasty. the water in Hastings.
Yeah, all this.
I mean, we're a local show for local people, but fair enough.
Yeah.
Who knew we had international appeal, Steve? Anyway, loves listening to the show. Yeah. My question for Steve is what your thoughts on us are, Americans, and our quirks. It's always cool to hear the outside perspective of America. It's not always cool, Umar, let me tell you, when it comes to the old Americans. But on a basic level, he says, I hope the weather's nice there. It's 105 degrees here. They're Fahrenheit, aren't they? I hope it's not Celsius.
I hope so. That's warm. Volcano eruption.
Umar's crashed into the sock.
Yeah, he's loving it though. He don't care. Send an email, 105 degrees.
Well, it's 7 degrees here in Bramall this morning.
It's about 13 here. Yeah, it's not great. But yeah.
Which I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit.
Let's say 80. It's probably about 40 in it or something like that.
Yeah, let's say that. So what do we think about Americans? Well, I guess I like them.
I think we all have ideas of what we think different countries are like, don't we? What we think are their traits.
Yes.
And it's always unfair, isn't it?
Of course. It's like when you go into Leicester Square or Times Square, just trying to make it international now. When you go and the guy drawing the picture, the caricature of you and your fiance or whatever.
What you're in, yeah.
Yeah, and he makes massive ears, massive nose, you know, bald head even if you've got a little bit, massive boobs if you've got sort of semi-big boobs. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's a caricature.
He accentuates those little things. And that's basically what we do with countries as well, don't we? So we go, you know, you might say all Brits are, well, depending on which side of Brits, you might go, all Brits are stiff upper lip, posh, don't care.
Yeah, that's what, I think that would be the foreigners look at the Brits. But obviously, you know, we know that's not true.
All Americans are like fat because they eat loads of food.
Loud. Yeah, I think that's, I don't think that's what the caricature. Well, it's interesting. I got a coach transfer the other day in Spain, right? And it was like 8:15 in the morning. My mother-in-law said, we got to get there 7:45 because they're always early and they'll leave without us. I was like, all right. And then we got there and then it was 7:10 and he still wasn't there. She went, oh, typical Spanish. So mañana, isn't it? And you're like, well, which one is it? Yeah. They're leaving half an hour early. Is it always late? You know what I mean? But that's the Spanish one, isn't it? That
they have a little kip in the afternoon.
Leave it till later. But I don't think that's true. Like the Germans are really efficient. I don't think that's true.
The French stink.
That's true.
That is true, actually, though, to be fair.
No, it's not. We're joking.
We're messing.
But you know what I mean? Americans, I think loud, brash, opinionated is what people think.
What do you think?
I think the entire world is full of all the different sorts of people. That's what I think. If you watch something like Race Across the World, when you watch stuff like that and you see them going to Southeast Asian countries and they're there help out and stuff, we look like the bad guys because we haven't got that sense of
that culture,
community and help. If somebody knocks on your door and went, hey, I'm in a race and I just need, can you get your map out? And you go, get off me, mate. You know what I mean? Whereas in the rest of the world, then, you know, and you'll find places in Britain where they do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
the north. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think that. I think that again. Another that's one. True. That's true.
That is true.
I think so.
I mean, not Yorkshire.
No, I think they're more friendly. Actually, I think they're more friendly.
Well, that's it. No, I would say, my opinion is, I've only been a few times.
I've never been to Arizona.
From doing gigs and stuff out there, I would say enthusiastic, supportive. Like gigging over there, like I remember we had the comic Janine Hironi on a few weeks back, and she said, like, gigging in the UK is like running with one of those weighted vests. What? So you're still running, still going well. Yeah. But when you go to America, it's like you take the weighted vest off.
Yeah, I get that.
Because we're a bit like arms crossed. Come on, then, make me laugh. Whereas the Americans are like, woo, come on!
I think sometimes that's too far the other day. Do you remember when we went to Broadway and we watched a couple of shows and one of them was awful.
Terrible.
But they still got standing ovation. And I was like, nah, not standing up. It was awful. But they get it every time. But you got to earn that, haven't you? So it's somewhere between the two, isn't it? Bigger. I think that's the national perception is everything's bigger over there. The food's bigger. The steaks are bigger. The burgers are bigger. You know, it's all bigger, isn't it?
Yeah. But we're really chuffed to hear from you, Umar. We'd love to know if there's anyone else around the world listening to this.
Yeah, we'll do a caricature of your country.
Yeah, we'll do. Let us know. We've got another question for Steve. If you want to throw in a question to us, by the way, we'll answer anything, me and you, won't we?
Oh, yeah, we'll have a go. Yeah.
We'll have a go at us. You can email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Michaela has messaged. She says, hi, Jason. I've got a question for Steve.
Okay.
Would you rather... We like a would you rather.
Yeah, do we? Yeah, okay.
Would you rather have to be forced to sing along to every song you hear or forced to dance along to every song you hear? Love the show, Michaela.
Hang on, so I'd rather be forced to sing along, I think.
Every song you hear.
Exhausting one.
Hang on, Steve.
They'd all both be exhausting, but I think the dancing would be... He's trying to get sleep at night, so when he puts a song on, you're like, oh, come on, mate, I just want to go to bed.
But you've got a distinction in dance.
I have got distinction in dance.
Salford University.
Yeah. No, that is a good
point.
It's
a shame not to use it because you don't really use it in your professional life.
No, it would be a shame. But I just feel like, you know, it's like what we all say about Strictly. If, you know, if they ask me to do Strictly, I think people go, oh, this is he's a plant. This is not
yeah, fair. Like
professional dancers on here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? They'd say, yeah. And I'd go, well, I've got distinction in dance from Salford University. What? I'm Sozzers. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it'd go up, it'd be like, look, it's a 9. It would have been a 10, but because of the distinction in dance from Salford University.
Yeah. And obviously, it's all about the journey. And there is no journey with me because I'm the finished product. You know what I mean? There is There's no journey, is there?
Well, when you dance, it's not just a movement, is it? It's a statement.
It's a statement. That statement
Steve
is.
Steve Zammard.
Please stop. It's the sort of dance equivalent of those people who stop oil, you know, and just throw like, you know, mustard over paintings. It's the dance equivalent of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I don't know you're doing it, but nobody really knows why. Like, we sort of get it.
Yeah.
And we appreciate it.
We're sort of on your side, but come on, mate. You're ruining what we're here to do. Be that a wedding, be that the Crucible Snooker Tournament, be that Formula One, Wimbledon, whatever it is. Come on, we've come to do it, and you know, that's what you're doing. I'm on board with
it. I respect
it. You're ruining it. It's not about you. I paid a lot of money for this. Genre is dance. Yeah. Is, I think.
Steve Edge, the just stop oil of dance.
Yeah, that's me.
That's Steve. But I like that. It's a good question. Have you got any more of those would you rathers? Keep them clean because some of them go pretty dark.
Nothing to do with sandwiches.
Nothing to do with sandwiches. Don't mention my parents. Let's just do a normal one, okay? Jason at absoluteradio.co.uk. Now, Steve, we were off last week. That was pre-planned. That wasn't out of shame.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Because the week before, if you remember, this show went out the morning of the FA Cup final.
Yes. Yes, I do. So the game hadn't happened yet.
The game hadn't happened. And, well, this is the conversation me and Thee had. Okay. This show is pre-recorded, so I don't know if we won the FA Cup yesterday or not. I mean, I'm guessing we have. Yeah, that's not good, is it?
You said it was a bit me. I think it's mainly you, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like that clip really helps you out, if I'm honest, but I'm fine with that.
I thought you were playing Ipswich for some reason, so I seem to remember.
Yeah, I think we said I'd rather play Ipswich because they'd give us more of a game.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's pretty embarrassing.
So did you go? Did you?
No.
No.
I didn't. No,
as well then.
I didn't go. And in fact, and you know, I think what had happened is a little bit of, I'm going to say, smugness crept into the Manchester City fraternity.
Right, okay.
I think, you know, the fact they went out and got hammered the week before, when they won the Premier League.
Yeah.
That tells me that you're not treating the effort. They've obviously thought we'll just have to turn up against United. That'll be enough. Mm.
Yeah.
And it was not enough. But I think that had seeped into the fans, myself included. I was actually in the process of defrosting the freezer and I just had the FA Cup on in the background.
I just didn't listen to the goals going.
I'll just go and watch the goals
going. Drops down from the top, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so yeah, so I apologise to...
No, I don't apologise to
Well,
them.
I do a little...
To
no, them. Not to United fans, not bothered about that. They got an FA Cup, haven't they? I apologise to, you know, a few people said I jinxed it. So I apologise to those people.
Do you know what? I think you should apologise for that. Yeah, maybe that is what it. That's what happened.
Yeah. So maybe the lads were listening to the show on the way down.
Yeah.
On the bus.
Turn up, lads. Show them a drink. Go on then.
Yeah. So yeah, and obviously social media, they like to remind you of any mistakes you've made, and rightly so in this instance.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it happens, doesn't it? Football, isn't it? You know, and a derby, so anything can happen. That's what they always say, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the magic of it. But I think to myself, you know what? We'll get a conversation out of this. We'll get a subject out of this to talk about. So I asked online for people who, when did you get it so wrong? When did you say, you said something, you did something, and it went so badly wrong that even now you still think about it, maybe months, years later? David Jones messaged me. He says, I booked a hotel at Gatwick to catch an early flight the next day. Sadly, it was flying from Heathrow.
Oh, that's bad, isn't it?
That's got it wrong.
Done that, though. Our wedding, I don't know if you remember, when I got married, we were going to...
You can't say that was you got wrong.
No. After the next morning, we're having the wedding breakfast and stuff. Like, we've got to go now because we're off to I was filming, so we're on a mini moon to like Ravello, you know, in Italy, just for a couple of nights, 3 nights I think it was. So I was drove. I'd see you later. Bye. Drove to Heathrow. It's going from Gatwick.
Oh,
so you know, it does happen. You get confident about your airports. What's your favourite British airport?
Favourite British airport.
So you're balancing what's there, with scumbags, basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to beat Heathrow. you know, they've got everything you need.
I think sometimes they go too far the other way, though. We don't need a Hamleys store. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
I'm Gatwick. Gatwick all the way, mate.
Yeah, I like a Gatwick. I like Gatwick.
Just got the right amount of stuff that you need. Yeah, but it's not much. Yeah, we're sort of in the middle for me. I mean, Heathrow. Yeah,
I used to live. I got to say, Liverpool John Lennon's a nice airport.
Never flown from there. Is that a good? Oh, I have once. Yeah.
That's a good airport. That's pretty good. Southampton's decent. Manchester's all right, but you've got to be Terminal 2, really.
Yeah, that's that's like Dublin, isn't it? When you there's one of the Dublins, the North South. You know, you to get to the gate, it's like 5K, isn't it?
Yeah, Manchester's. I think it's a tough airport. It's not they've tried to fix bits and bobs along the way, and it's just not quite right.
You can always tell by the stuff that's available for the kids, like playgrounds and stuff, because they won't put that in Manchester Airport because they know that there'll be a drunk bloke on it. Do you know what I mean? In some airports, you know, they'll go, they trust you here. You know, this is for the kids, and people will respect that.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can let us know what you think is Britain's best airport.
Britain's best airport.
You can email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. We're talking this morning about when you got it so wrong after my little football faux pas last week, my overconfidence in Man City's ability to win the FA Cup. Genevieve says, my mum took me and two of my friends to the cinema years ago to see a film starring John Travolta. Ended up sitting through heavy-duty opera La Traviata instead. Ended up costing her a fortune as she took us to McDonald's to apologise. We saw the correct film the next day. How are you getting John Travolta and La Traviata mixed up?
I mean, there's like four letters in it that are the same.
Yeah. That's bizarre, isn't it? And you can get, you know, I've sat in the wrong film before now. In fact, I remember going to see Bicentennial Man with Peter Kay randomly about 20 years ago. And us sat there with hot dog and snacks and ice cream. And it was packed, middle of the day, and it was packed. And it'd been on for about 4 weeks. And we were like, why is this screen so busy? And it was a Bollywood film. We only suddenly realised we were the only two like white faces in this whole room.
Good, though.
I sat through it. Didn't want to insult anybody.
You can't walk away, can you?
No, don't want you there. Chris says, my husband worked in a restaurant and a couple came in. He ordered ribs to start and she ordered soup. He put a finger bowl, hot water and a slice of lemon, as we know, down next to the guy, then returned with their order. The woman was drinking the finger bowl water and complaining her soup was tasteless.
Oh, dear.
No, that I don't believe that.
That can't happen.
No one's that stupid. We do that as a dad joke.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing that it's sort of... That doesn't happen in real life, does it?
Not in real life. I'm not having
it's that. Like somebody who's never been to a sort of Chinese restaurant or anything. Yeah.
This soup is watery. Like,
just taking a hot towel and putting it on your face and back of your neck.
Yeah, exactly. Or pouring like soy sauce thinking it's sake or something.
Well, I mean, you know, that was just a combination of the wrong earthenware jug. I mean, that wasn't my fault. I was trying to I was trying to give you good luck, actually. I was trying to give your life a meaning.
Julie says, I once turned up for a job interview 1 week early. Only issue was the job was in London. I lived in Devon. I had to go back home and get the train back the next week. I still got the job.
Oh, that's good.
Well, that worked out then, didn't it? It's a story forever as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And every time you're there. What about this one from Charles, who says, 20 years ago, I moved to Finland from Manchester.
Right. Okay. Is that it?
I went... I was trying to do a quiet cough.
Oh, I thought he was like, how wrong did I get this? I moved from Finland to Manchester.
Need I say more?
Helsinki / hell.
I went to a sauna for my first time. I was wearing swimming trunks and my Finnish friend told me never wear swimming trunks in summer unless told otherwise. A week later, I went to a spa, confident I knew all the Finnish customs, and went to the sauna area. It had a sign saying no swimwear, so I went au naturel. Returning to the dressing room after the sauna, I took the wrong door that had text in Finnish, Swedish and Russian, not English, written on it. Anyway, I ended up being escorted back to the sauna area by security.
I think I find that a lot in a lot of gastro pubs when they don't...
What? No underwear on?
No, the signs to the toilets where they go, name of a male zebra, the name of a female zebra. And you're like, I don't know the name of a male zebra. Do you know what I mean? It's always like a weird animal. You've never... Just put something that I can understand. Do you know what I mean? Be a symbol. Like when it's goats sometimes, you're like, nanny...
Yeah.
Which one?
Takes a minute, doesn't it, to work out?
Ram? I don't know. Am I a ram? Hang on. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's too confusing. Drop us an email, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. We're talking when things went very wrong. Mm. Sometimes these things happen to all of us, Steve. Even you, I bet, on occasion.
Oh, I remember going to a meeting about like pitching ideas for some guy from BBC Worldwide, and it was in the Century. Is it Century, the sort of members club in London. There? And I went. I just had the name of the. It was like Andrew or something. And I went in. It was like middle of the afternoon. There's about four people there. And a bloke waved me over to the table. I went, Andrew. He went, yeah. And I went, oh, Steve. And I started chatting. He said, where have you come from? I was like, oh, Twickenham. He said, we've got an office there. And I was like, have you? He said, yeah, Eel Pie Island. I was like, PBC, have you got an office? Just weird. And then he said, I was just talking to Massimo Esposito, actually. And I was like, all right, just playing along. And then he said, I've got three missed calls from you. I was thinking, I've not got this guy's number. And then he bought me a coffee. And we chatted a bit more about people we knew who I didn't know. And then he just sort of looked up over my shoulder, and I turned around, and there was a bloke just sweating loads. And he went, I'm Steve. I've come for the job interview. And he was like, who's this guy then? And I was like, he went, I've just bought you a coffee. And the job was like building oil rigs or something, like civil engineering. I was like, how have you? And then I went and then I found the real bloke. And I went, you never believe what's just happened. Told him, got nothing back. And I thought, I don't want to work with you.
No.
But
no
a
way.
Full 20-minute conversation about people we knew, where we had offices.
What a shame no one saw how good you are at acting. In that moment, I got you any job.
Well, I could have almost got a job as a built, designing.
Ringing Tam.
Just look, like,
hello.
I don't know what's happened here.
I don't know this has happened.
Just off the coast of Norway.
I was too polite.
It was a bit when I bought you a coffee. It was that bit. It was really annoying that he bought me a coffee.
Like, did you buy him one back?
No. He's got enough money. Brilliant. He builds oil rigs.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Tracy says, I worked for EE many years ago and remember when they introduced mobile internet and everyone commented, who's ever going to want to access the internet on their mobile phones? Yeah.
It's gone backwards now, though, isn't it? Have you seen this thing about like dumb? I think they call it dumb phones instead of smartphones.
Someone mentioned this to me the other day. Yeah,
dumb phones, and you're like, you only have, a couple of apps, like a, you don't have social media apps. Well, you can have three, I think, but you can't. You have a camera, you have your email or whatever, and then you don't have all that streaming stuff, watching videos and stuff.
Well, I think it's a good idea,
but I mean, willpower is the other way, isn't it?
Well, yes, but that is hard when. Literally, a company has spent billions of dollars on an algorithm to beat your willpower. So,
Bring it on, algorithm.
I had this conversation. I think we spoke a few weeks back when we went through our bank statements. We were trying to cut down on costs.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I was spending money on is $8.99 for this extra terabyte of
the cloud.
iCloud.
Yeah.
It's still paying for it. Because now we've used it. I don't know how. What have I got to do? Go through everyone's phone and delete loads of videos and apps so we can go down to 1 terabyte.
Yeah, actually pull stuff out of the cloud, is that? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what to do. I'd love to. If anyone's got any information on how you clean your cloud so I don't have to spend $8.99 a month on an extra terabyte of space or whatever. I don't even know what words I'm saying, Steve.
I don't know what you're saying. I remember years ago.
Say words.
When the cloud first came out, like 10, 15 years ago, you used to have like almost like a little folder on your desktop that was your cloud.
Right. Yeah.
So you could just empty that, couldn't you, and go, well, that's my cloud emptied now. You know, I don't need that. But now it's invisible.
Because like, my daughter's like, going, oh, my phone's saying it's got no capacity. I'm like, that's because you've got 400 videos of you practicing a TikTok and only one is the TikTok. So delete the others.
Yeah.
It's the way to do it.
Unless one of them's really, you know, really bad and you throw something in the air and it hits you on the head. Yeah. Don't delete that one, obviously.
No, we'll have that. But I don't know how you do it. Is that what you've got to do? Just go through all your phones and delete.
We need a cloud expert. We need a cloud.
I need a cloud expert.
Need Kate Bush.
I was also googling. You know, when you get into a little what do you call them? A rabbit hole.
Rabbit hole. Yeah.
A rabbit hole when you're just sort of googling stuff.
Yeah.
Is Russia better off now under Putin than it was before Putin?
How do you mean?
Like, is the country is living in Russia? Yeah. You know, like, because we have our version view of what Putin is like, evil and you know, nasty and. You know, dictator and all that. And I was like, I don't know. I was just Googling.
Yeah, but if you live in there, do you notice the difference between
exactly? Yeah. And by all accounts, it's actually all right.
I feel like, in the sort of like late 80s, early 90s, the sort of Gorbachev, it felt like that was a different time, wasn't it? Everything was changing.
But anyway,
but just I don't know if it made any difference to the person.
You know, just like 2 o'clock in the morning when you just sort of go, hey, I wonder if. If I'm being fed,
and then just get loads of emails from
false
Quora
information.
Going, the Russian people. You're like, oh, I didn't ask that.
I know. Why does your brain do that at 2 o'clock in the morning? Don't need it, do you? That's what hit me with your best facts is for, because these are all facts, no opinion, just 100% facts.
Facts, sometimes
all checked on BBC Bite Size. Gillian says, years ago, I was in a pub in Liverpool when a guy was setting up a PA system. My friends urged me to be first up on the karaoke. So not needing much persuasion, it has to be said, I grabbed the mic. Oh, God, don't do that. And proceeded to sing all the verses to the Wild Rover, a cappella style, to a bemused-looking crowd.
Yeah.
After I'd finished, the PA man took the mic, cleared his throat and said, right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get on with the quiz.
Question number one. How many people were on the Wild Rover? What date did the Wild Rover set sail from?
That's unbelievable. The confidence on her.
I know.
Travel mistakes, Steve. These can happen. Special public transport. Victoria says, when I was a bus driver, I would always check the bus was empty at the start and the finish of the routes. One late night shift, I had a double decker, and as I made the last trip out of Glasgow and up into the sticks, I finally arrived at my last stop. I went upstairs and checked all the seats and there was no one left. So I put my out of service sign on and headed back to the depot. I was just coming into Glasgow City again when I heard a voice say, where are we, driver? I nearly crashed the bus as I got such a fright, especially since I was singing my little heart out, excited to be finishing. Yeah. No idea how I didn't see him when I did my checks. Anyway, turns out he has been on the bus for hours and actually has wanted to go back to Glasgow but had fallen asleep and ended up back out in the sticks and then back to Glasgow again. It could have been worse. I heard of one driver who took a fast asleep passenger all the way back to the depot and locked up the bus for the night and left.
Imagine waking up on that bus. Well, I'm a driver. Driver? That'd be creepy at night, wouldn't it?
Imagine in a bus depot
and there's loads of other buses.
And
it's just like 3 o'clock in the morning. Everything's shut down.
Yeah, that's
not where you were, would you?
No, it'd be horrible. Horrible. Sally said she went to visit a boyfriend on a Sunday, got on a train at Euston, didn't notice I was the only person on the train. It stopped in the sidings a mile outside Euston and I watched the driver get out and just walk off.
Wonder where he's going.
I was rescued by a lovely man whose job it is to check empty trains. He called a taxi for me and I arrived back at Euston only to get on a train I was supposed to get on. Mortified.
Did it again.
That can happen though, can't it? Wrong. I've done that a few times.
When you're in a rush, because you're just running, aren't you? And if they change the platform at the last minute, you just get on the one. 5 minutes ago, you said platform 7, so I'm getting on platform 7.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I don't know. James says, on a cruise ship at a communal dinner table, I was happily chatting to the other guest. I asked the guy if this was his first cruise with his mother. He replied, that's my wife.
Oh,
on a cruise as well. So you're actually just stuck with them.
Yeah. No, you can't avoid them, can you?
Hey,
morning, you two lovebirds. Every time you see them.
Why
did you never feel the need to mention? You just keep...
Don't mention it, exactly.
Don't mention it. It's, no.
You just don't mention presume. It. Yeah.
It's like don't presume someone's pregnant. Don't presume someone is their mum.
It's yeah, absolutely. I felt that this week actually with did you see there was like news of Lady Gaga in the
I missed the Lady Gaga news. What was the Lady Gaga? I've been away. So what was the Gaga news?
So there was it's really awful. Basically, all the papers, like The Sun and all the, ran a story with, because Lady Gaga was in a tight dress and she had a little bump, you know, on a, she could have just had a blooming dinner or whatever. It doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah,
a little
bump. Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. And, nice. Good one. I got that. Right. And they were saying, oh, Lady Gaga has, you know, pregnancy rumours. Front page of the paper. Anyway, she's denied it. She says, no, I'm not pregnant. But you just think, how awful is that? Like, they're allowed to just go, all right, she's got a bit of a bump there, probably pregnant. Let's run that front page.
Yeah, I think they do a little bit of checking and go, have we know little. She is, but we're just going to tease it because we can't say officially she is, but actually we have heard officially she is. But, you know, you're just going, yeah, I think she's pregnant. Yeah, yeah.
Or just wait. Wait just, until...
Or just leave her alone.
Or just leave her alone, yeah. Wait until she decides to tell you. Like, we all know with pregnancies... Yeah, exactly. You wait till someone's...
12 weeks or whatever, is it?
Yeah, like whatever it is, 20 weeks. Whatever you want to... Wait till the baby's out. Whenever you want to say it, it's your news, isn't it? It's your private news. Even if you are Lady Gaga. Anyway, it just wound me up when I saw that yesterday. It annoyed me. Tracy has emailed us. She says, Jason, last week booked me and my husband a night away in Christchurch in Dorset, a lovely boutique hotel with rooftop bar. Next day, my husband looked it up to check it out. You know you've booked Christchurch in New Zealand.
That's why it looked so nice.
That's why it looked lovely.
That's
exactly.
Why the weather was so glorious. I did think surfing was a bit much. And I thought it was odd that they were selling crocodile steaks at the restaurant, but...
Just went with it. Angela says, turned up to a panto the night after we were supposed to. Confidently told people sitting in our seat that they were ours. They checked our tickets.
Oh, no,
believe.
They're not.
Yeah, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
You'd have to, wouldn't you?
A couple of their party hadn't turned up, so they very kindly let us have their seats.
Yeah, that's nice.
But my daughter had to sit on the stairs. That's a bit harsh.
Oh, yeah.
It is for kids.
It is for kids as well, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I must say, I've had to correct a couple of people on... social media because I go on tour from September and till the following December,
right?
And so like I'm playing Co-op Arena,
but yeah, got you.
Yeah, so Co-op Arena in Manchester, for example, is November 2025.
Yeah, that'll be cancelled anyway, so don't worry about.
Well,
that
you know, yeah, exactly. But I've had loads of people saying, oh, like the other day, I just saw someone had put, oh, I can't believe whatever the band was called. Some band I'd never heard of. I can't believe they're playing on the same night. I'm going to see Jason Manford at the Cobb Arena. And I just thought, hang on. So I checked this band's website to see when they're in Manchester. And it was this year, yeah. So I actually sent him a little message to go, I've got some good news for you, fella. You can do both. So yeah, definitely check the year of your tickets. Anyway, keep these coming in for next week. We'd love to hear your mad stories. jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. It's time for a bit of this.
Hit me with your best fact. Fire away.
All right, it's Hit Me With Your Best Facts. We play this game every week. If you're new to it, Steve, what is the deal?
You give us the fact or a part of a fact that intrigues us enough that but basically we want the fact that we can use now, that's the ideal, remember, which is obviously tricky, and something that, you know, we want to Google. Basically, it's the Googleometer is what we're after.
Exactly.
We want to know more.
We want it. We want to know more. And if you win, you get yourself an Absolute Radio mug as well. So we've got a few here. Claire Tudor says, hi, Jason. Hi, Steve. Ants have a distinct smell. Damn. Some actually smell a bit chocolatey and others a bit like lemon.
Because do you remember there was a period when we were like, there was lots of ant mash everywhere. I remember, you know, about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's insect restaurants. So you get a minty, I mean, that would go, you know, an ant would go well with lamb, wouldn't it, I suppose.
Do you think it's, is it because of something they've eaten, or is it just general?
Well, I suppose they could eat mint and lemon, couldn't they? Yeah, they could crawl over them, couldn't they?
How bizarre. That's that. Also, how are you smelling an ant? Like, because if you went, you're like, oh, it's got in my nose.
Oh, it's gone, yeah. But I would imagine getting like a gin and tonic with a load of ants floating on top. Go, they're lemony ones. Yeah, they're lemon.
Yeah, with dairy milk ants. Yeah. What about this one from Neil Young?
Oh, okay. See what he's saying about himself.
See what's happened here, shall we? Up until 1956, French school children were allowed to drink wine on their lunch breaks.
I've heard this before, I think. That, yeah.
Yeah, that definitely.
Well, again, when we're talking about perceptions of other countries, that's one, isn't it? You just think. I think the thing with the French is you're annoyed. Your annoyance with them is a little bit of envy.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? It's done what? Yeah. It can't do that. Oh, that'd be great, though, wouldn't it? I wish we did that.
Yeah, exactly. 1956. I presume that's
school
the year and
children.
Not the time.
Yeah.
Up until 5 to 8, French school children are allowed to drink wine. You know what I mean?
Why school? I mean, surely it's too long. I mean, I get, because they did this thing about on film sets, they used to have a glass of wine at lunch, and we've never done that in this country.
No.
Because we'd abuse it. There was a cheese board. I did a job once. There was a cheese board once, and like a really good one. And me and my mates used to sort of who could get the best cheese board. And it was a sitcom about rambling. So we were walking about 4 miles a day, and I still put on half a stone in a 3 week job.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
So, you know, if there was wine available, we'd abuse it.
Yeah, I hear you. Would you want British school kids to be able to have a little bit of wine?
I don't think
lunch? Kids
need wine. Do you?
No. That might calm them down in the afternoon if it was just a little
might
bit.
Might do. Depends. They might start singing. Might be other. You know,
throwing tables and chairs. You know what
you get
like
when you get the school report and he comes back going, good pupil until after lunchtime and then a lot of singing.
Yeah. Got a little bit abusive.
A couple of things said quite near the knuckle. A bit
anyway,
out of order.
I'm sure he'll be all right in year five.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. I've got Soccer Aid this week, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
So we've recorded this show just before I start training for Soccer Aid.
When is the match?
The match is tonight. So if you're listening now, obviously, to the show, Sunday, it's tonight. I think the show starts at 6-ish, something like that. The match is at 7:30. But I'm a pundit in the first half.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you said, yeah. So
and then second half I'm playing, so... but you only ever get about 20 minutes anyway, to be honest, so should be all right.
Should be fun.
Shouldn't embarrass myself too much.
Well, you can do... You know, it only takes a second to score a goal, but it takes less than that to embarrass yourself, I think.
So. Yeah, exactly. My son said, if you score, what's your celebration going to be?
Yeah, what is it?
So I said to him, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you...
Tell me
you
what
tell
you
me,
to do. Yeah.
And if I score, which is not going to happen, but if I score, I'll do whatever celebration you want. And he wants me to do that one where they do like the phone thing next to their ear.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. I think like Jesus does it and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, but you just think,
who is he ringing?
Ringing? And why is such an old phone? Nobody
is it
knows.
An agent? Like to say, look, I need to be at a bigger club, or you need to sign me up.
I don't know. But if you let me know what you think of it tonight, it'll be a lot of fun. We'll talk about it a bit more next week once I've done all the training and stuff and the actual match. But make sure you tune in tonight. ITV, Soccer Aid in aid of UNICEF. Right now, though, we're playing Hit Me With Your Best Facts. We've had some good ones so far. Phil Reed says, last week you were talking about Park Run. Did you know when Park Run started in 2005, the average finishing time was 22 minutes and 17 seconds? In 2023, it's gone up to over 32 minutes.
Mm,
well, I guess why there?
More people have
more
started
people
doing
are going,
it, so they're pulling.
Who are not runners?
Yeah, pushing.
Whoever
the
started
up.
It? Yeah, whoever started it in 2005.
You don't start a running club if you really
you're not good at running.
At running.
Yeah, exactly.
That is somebody who's really good at running. I got an idea. Why don't we start like a running club, guys? You know, you don't say that if you can't run, do you?
Yeah, exactly. Sandra Bushby says, Christopher Columbus wasn't the first European to discover the American continent. No, that was actually Leif Erikson, who was a Viking, sailed there in the year 1000 AD. He reached the coast of modern-day Canada and named the land Vinland.
Vinland? Not Finland.
No, Vinland.
Why?
Well, I'm going to start calling Canada Vinland. I'm
going to start calling Canada Vinland. Well, I mean, yeah. Columbus thought it was in India, didn't he? That's why
he was lost. Wasn't
that confusion all occurred.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be fair to the natives in North America,
yeah, not India.
even when Leif Erikson got there, yeah. They were already like, oh, hello, we live here. It's not called Vinland. It's called whatever we call it.
Yeah.
And I also feel like I'm able to say that as a native Brit.
Mm.
I've told you this before, haven't I, when I did 23andMe?
Yeah.
I'm actually, I'm 100%.
British?
Well, yeah, because I did that 23andMe and I thought, oh, at least I'll have some Irish in me. No, even my Irish family must originally be from England.
So no DNA.
No, I'm like indigenous.
You're like Mr. Ben. That's how exactly. British you are. You I'm look like so that bowler at.
Exactly. Indigenous Brit, me.
Not me. 40 to 50% Portuguese and Spanish. You know that.
And Welsh.
And well, yeah, yeah. I didn't. The that didn't come through as much as the Spanish genes.
Really?
No.
I'd like to see your results, if I'm honest.
Nah, you're right. It's much better if no one sees them.
Just your perception of him, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Alan Wardle has said the first bus in Britain to be powered by human excrement ran from Bristol to Bath on, you would hope, the number 2 route.
Yeah, God, it has to be,
it'd have
it?
To be, wouldn't it? It'd have to be, wouldn't it? Makes sense.
Yeah.
That does sound like this? A very... It doesn't say what year, but I presume it's quite recent, but also makes sense.
Human excrement.
Human excrement. I don't think, like, it wasn't, someone wasn't, like, pooing in the pipeline.
I think, like we're not going enough to make it back to the station. John, do you need to, just run, it's on the right-hand side.
Yeah, know. No, I don't think it was that. But it does sound like a very Bristol thing to do.
I think it'd run on cider or something in Bristol. Don't you know?
I just think Bristol feels that sort of place where they've gone, you know what, let's...
What, like eco? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, eco and like a bit sort of a bit hippie and, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I always think of Bristol, sort of that sort of
yeah,
place.
I know what you mean, yeah. Like,
love the earth and stuff, you know, it's a cool place. Yeah. But would you want to get on a bus ran by human excrement?
I wouldn't put the aircon on. Definitely wouldn't put the aircon on. Mate, can you open that window? I actually close it again. I'm near the exhaust pipe.
If you're the car behind it.
Yeah. Have you just dropped one?
No, it's the number 42.
It's a 10-100. It's a filming joke for the filmers there.
Nice. Robin Pelling says, the River Tweed is on the border of England and Scotland and forms part of the border, but there is a field on the English side of the river that is actually Scottish. This was won in a football game. It's probably the only land territory that was won by a nation in a sports match.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
I like that.
That's good. I like that. That's very good.
Is that like, isn't Berwick-upon-Tweed, like, still at war with Russia?
Yeah, there's like an old document somewhere they forgot to change
it. They never signed it or something, did they?
You think that somebody had changed it by now. You know what I mean? Each year when they build it, like, it's happening now, isn't it, with the manifestos and their face-to-face. Somebody should say, and we will, in Berwick-upon-Tweed, the people of Berwick-upon-Tweed have lived under the tyranny of this war, we will sort them out. To put that in there, people go, what are they on about? You know, just to... they get the votes in Berwick-upon-Tweed, unless they like it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Our last few facts of the show. We've got Michael Jones, who says, the term knickerbocker, you know, like your old knickerbocker...
Knickerbocker glory.
Knickerbocker glory and knickerbockers, like what you wear, I guess, traces its origin to the Dutch settlers who came to what is now New York in the 1600s. Specifically, it refers to the style of pants the settlers wore, pants that rolled up just below the knee, which became known as knickerbockers, or, later on, knickers. This is where the New York Knicks basketball got their name.
Oh, this is good, isn't it?
That's a good bit of... I like that.
That's a bit of everything, isn't it?
Got everything, that one, hasn't it? Love that. Keith Oakland says, did you know that the Eiffel Tower can grow 15 centimetres taller in the summer?
Is that because metal expands in the heat, or does it contract?
That's exactly the reason, Steve.
It expands, mustn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's the same with...
Must be the same. That's the same with Blackpool Tower and all the metal structures.
I feel like I think we might have had this before as a fact on wood. I think trees are bigger in the summer as well. I think there's a There's well, obviously because of the leaves, but the actual wood water. Expands as well. Yeah,
yeah, and the water content.
Could be a thing. Darren Nobes says, apart from Harrison Ford, the only other actor to appear in the first three Indiana Jones films was the former wrestler Pat Roach.
Was he in all of them? I know he was in the first one, but yeah. I don't remember.
Don't remember Pat him Roach. In the other ones. There
Bomber
you go.
From our Feed the Same Pet.
Little fat there for yeah. a certain generation.
Yeah.
And Ellen Scott says, the word neighbour comes from the Old English ne, meaning nearby.
No. Oh, no.
Yeah, no. Go. And boa yeah. mean away. Yeah. Ne, meaning nearby. And boa, meaning farmer, nearby farmers.
Nearby farmers. Oh, that's good, isn't it?
That's a good little fact.
Nearby farmers.
Yeah.
Everybody needs good nearby farmers. Yeah.
That's the original. That's the original yeah. song. We've had some cracking facts this morning. I'll rattle through them, Steve, and then we're yeah. going to pick a winner. We had Claire, who told us that ants can smell sometimes of chocolate, sometimes of lemon. French school children were allowed to drink wine on their lunch breaks, according to Neil. Park run has got, has it got harder or have people got worse? It's gone from 22 minutes.
More people. Yeah.
Yeah, to 32 minutes in the sort of 20 years or so that it's been running. Excuse the pun. Leif Erikson was the first Viking who sailed across to America. He called Canada Vinland. Alan Wardle told us about the bus that's powered by human poo. Robin Pilling told us that the River Tweed has a field that was won in a game of football. And Michael Jones told us about Knickerbocker, where that word comes from. The Eiffel Tower grows 15 centimetres taller in the summer, according to Keith. And Darren told us that in the Indiana Jones films, Pat Roach was in the first three. And the word neighbour comes from nearby and farmer, according to Ellen. So, some good ones there, Steve.
Yeah, there's no standout one, though, really.
No.
The one I want to know more about is the bus, just so I can understand how they got a bus powered by poo, I think. I'm going to use the neighbour one.
Yeah,
I think that's good. That's the one useful. I can remember.
Nick's is good, isn't it?
It's very good, but
we're in New York like next week, so
we are in New York next week, so we can. They go, yeah, I know, buddy, and you go, oh, does everyone know it here? Oh, we didn't know. That'd be weird, though.
Yeah, it might be a bit.
What do you think? Maybe it is the Nick. Maybe that's the one we're going
to
use.
There's
next
a lot
week,
of good information because we are going to New York next week, and we do like a fact that we can use.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's go with that then. That sounds
yes,
like a
we
good
go
fact.
With that,
it's Michael... got two facts in one, hasn't it?
It has, to be fair, yeah. So, Michael Jones...
I do like the Vinland one, but I feel like he got there, he went, brilliant, let's call this place Finland. And they went, we've already got a Finland. And he went,
that's where
you're
from.
I said Vinland. You didn't, you said yeah. Finland. I said Vinland. I think that's what's happened there.
Yeah, I think so too. So we'll give it to Michael Jones, who told us about the term Knickerbocker, and that's where the New York Knicks got their name from. Well done. If you want to join in next week and win a prize, all you got to do is email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Steve, what have you got planned the rest of the day?
I'm just unpacking still, because we've only just got back, so it's a bit of a, you know, bit of unpacking and then trying to work out how sunburnt I am.
Yes, of course, yeah. You did Butlins first, though, didn't you?
I did do Butlins first, yeah. I've been a bit of a roller coaster. Butlins.
Yes.
And then a sort of campsite in Spain, basically populated by people from West Yorkshire.
Which was the more British of the two holidays?
The one in Spain.
Yeah.
The one in Spain by a mile. I was sat outside just having a beer outside, you know, like the lovely little Spanish sunset.
Yeah, yeah.
There. It was later. It was about 9 o'clock at night. I was just sat there. The sky was a lovely pink color, and I heard the theme da, 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 at Emmerdale just starting. Someone in one of the. I was like,
yeah, I hear you.
You couldn't make it up.
Well, I what have I got on this week? I am. Well, hopefully, I'll be playing Soccer Aid later on this Sunday. And
well, you don't want to jinx yourself again.
I know.
You're a pundit in the first half.
And of course, when we win, when we beat England 3-1.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people are asking me why.
Well, do the reverse. Say you think the other team are going to win. Because then you'll be not. Prove you're not a jinx by saying you think you're going to lose. You're going to. You rest of the world.
Yeah, but we've got like Del Piero, Eden Hazard, Roberto Carlos.
You'd be doing it again. Look, you're bigging yourself. You're saying it's not going to happen, and then it might. So
know,
just
you're
prove
right.
You're not a jinx by saying you think.
I think England might do it. I think you might be right. But watch that tonight on ITV. And if you want to join in next week's show, you can email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Enjoy your Sunday, enjoy your week, and we'll see you here next week on Absolute Radio.